Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The NBA Board of Governors approves the comeback plan. As we were just talking about, Shams Charania says the one team that voted no was Portland. So we were kind of along the right line there. We thought maybe it was Memphis, because Memphis, if they were to just to come back and play in the postseason, they would be in. You know, Damian Lillard originally said, what do I want to come back and play a few games for? It doesn't mean anything. Well, now it does kind of mean something. They're within shouting distance, and they'll be one of the teams that's part of this 22 to go back. So we'll continue to discuss that. Lots of news in the NFL and it's surrounding Drew Brees and some of the comments yesterday. We played him on our show yesterday. We voiced our opinions. Mike Triplett covers the league and covers the Saints. And he joins us for ESPN NFL Nation, by the way. And he joins us now on ESPN 1000. Make sure you follow Mike on Twitter. He is simply at Mike Triplett. Mike, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. So you had a text communication with Drew Brees yesterday, correct? And can you just kind of fill us in on what the day was like, what you learned from communicating with Drew?
Well, I think Drew learned a lot since then. I when I texted with him, it was after he made the comments on Yahoo Finance. It started to get a little bit of backlash, and you know, I asked him about that and about, you know, his teammates in the locker room. And I think still at that time, he was trying to delineate, I have this stance on the anthem, but I also stand with my teammates and support the cause that they're talking about, the cause that so many Americans are talking about right now, and I think my actions show how much I care about other people. That was the point he really wanted to get across, but he has obviously learned through some very tough love and harsh criticism since then that you know, those two things are in conflict with one another. His inability to accept other people kneeling for the anthem was something that you know, in his apology this morning, he said he's been listening, he's been understanding that, you know, his stance is on the wrong side of this issue and that he needs to learn more from it. I think that was the first step in the right direction, and a lot of other Saints leaders have been stepping up today. DeMario Davis, Michael Thomas, among them, sort of accepting the apology and allowing there to be a path forward for this team, because, you know, but they're also going to demand action and proof and how genuine he is.
Will there be some sort of fractured or divided locker room because of this, or is this a veteran enough group where they can kind of get everything back together?
Well, they're certainly going to try. I mean, I think that's what we've seen today. I mean, we knew Drew Brees would apologize and make his attempt, but it's going to take the other guys in that locker room also being willing to forgive and come together. And they've started to do that. They've said the right things publicly, but they're going to put demands on Drew Brees too. I mean, you watch a video of Malcolm Jenkins with tears in his eyes while he talked about why this hurt him so much, coming from a guy he respects so much, from Drew Brees. You realize that these are, you know, there's anger and there's hurt and disappointment, and those things don't go away immediately.
What type of demands?
Well, they want the word that I've heard when I've talked with players and that some have said publicly is accountability. He's taken responsibility. You know, he's admitted he's wrong, and that's what DeMario Davis credited him for. He said that is leadership, and that's kind of a model for the country to admit when, you know, that you missed the mark on this, and that's what he said he did today. But they also want him not to just say that and have it be empty. They want him to use his platform and show the same kind of passion for standing up to promote people supporting these social causes, racial injustice, as he has shown, you know, in things like standing up for the value of the flag. And they're going to want him being a leader in this cause that certainly not detracting from it, but also leading the charge and sort of showing the way for other people that maybe were misguided in their opinions as he was.
Joe Horn really went to bat for him. I know that. I mean, you know, he's obviously a beloved figure down there. Like, what's been the reaction from fans in New Orleans, I guess I'd ask, Mike?
Very similar to what we saw from players, divided. I mean, some people are going to support him no matter what. Some people are disappointed, hurt, angry, but hopeful that there's a path back. And some people might write him off forever. I mean, there was a video going around last night of a brief F. Drew Brees chant starting up during one of the New Orleans protests. You know, I mean, inside the locker room, inside the fan base, you cannot put everyone's reaction to something this meaningful and this personal into one bubble. There's some people who will never forgive. There's some people who will probably show blind loyalty, and there's a lot of people in the middle there.
I mean, has he built up enough equity in a sense, Mike, where and obviously I get it that people want to see some action. But Drew Brees, from what I can understand, really just reading Joe Horn's comments, that he's done a lot for a lot of different people in a lot of different communities and a lot of different neighborhoods in New Orleans. So, in the immediacy of it, I get why there are a lot of people that might be angry with him. But I guess I would ask, on top of, yes, Drew can do some things that will help ease the pain maybe, but like that equity that he has built up, does that mean something as he works his way back from this, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to mean something, because equity is a good word. I mean, through his actions, through the kind of person he is, I think people who know him will genuinely believe his heart was in the right place and he was wrong and on this issue. But, I mean, he's built up a lot of credibility and trust and respect, but he damaged a lot of that stuff yesterday, too. I mean, it's plain to see. There's people who came out and you know, denounced what he said, that, you know, he was teammates with for over a decade, close friends with. Yeah, it's important that they know that he's a good person and wants to be a good person. An apology like this, a lot of people can roll their eyes and say, well, of course he apologized, he's backtracking now. But if they believe he really means it, and I think, I assume that people who know Drew Brees can lead themselves to believe he really means the words he said. He's going to have healing to do. There's no doubt about it.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That's Mike Triplett, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, covering the New Orleans Saints. Follow Mike on Twitter. He is at Mike Triplett. This is what Brees had to say in his apology. I can read this to everybody, and maybe you've seen it, maybe you've heard it, maybe not. But Drew Brees wrote, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, the NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I've caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful, and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth, and it is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality, and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exist today. I know that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and the plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution, and I can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I have always, all caps, been an ally, never an enemy. I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness." That is from Drew Brees today. Let's go to Sly on 294. Hello, Sly.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me? I got you on my car phone.
We can hear you.
We got you.
Go ahead.
Hi. Just want to talk about what you guys talk about with Drew Brees. You know, I'm not going to rake Drew over the coals of what he said, but at the same time, I think he has to understand that when his grandfathers came home from World War II, they received the GI Bill. there were laws put in place to make lending easy to build up what we now call the suburbs all across the country. And at the same time, black soldiers who came home were purposely denied those things. If you went to the South, you couldn't even vote. You came up here in our city, it was redlining. So I think a lot of people don't really understand the systemic and structural racism that really exists in this country then and now. You know, I can't really put myself in a black man's shoes, but I understand the history of this country and what's going on. And I just think that people just need to, A, do their homework, and B, come to an understanding of what other people have to deal with in this country. And concerning the guys that were all in, that I was listening while I was on hold, you know, with the rioting and looting, I understand what people are saying, and it's wrong, and it's terrible. And there's no excuse for it. But we also have to understand that there's a lot of people outside of the black community who are rioting and looting as well. And I think the message is getting lost in people who probably don't even care to begin with are using that to try to take away the real issue. And I don't like that. And I just hope that we can get real solutions done to a real problem. And I'm a longtime listener to you guys. And I thank you guys for just taking the time out and speaking on real issues.
You got it.
I think the best thing Sly said is you got to educate yourself.
Yeah.
You have to educate yourself. You do.
So that you can understand.
And
right?
This was a very different country. I mean, you know, if you go back to 1865 up to 67,
yeah,
and it was still a fight. I got to this country in 67. I was born in Germany. I got to this country in 67. It was still a fight.
Oh, yeah.
There was no,
I think it's still,
hey, a walk in the park. Oh, we've changed the rules. Everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, and like I said, you're trying to change like 300 or 400 years of a mindset. It's not going to happen in 50 years, Yerk. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know, and the mindset really didn't start changing. You know, if you look at Lincoln, okay, they did one thing there. Then for a long time, you didn't do much of anything.
I mean, up until,
you know what I'm
really
saying?
The civil rights movement, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so like,
and then it was 67 or 68.
Yeah.
And then you did something. And then, you know, there have been slow but sure steps, but nothing substantial.
Still a long way to go.
How about that?
Yeah.
Is that the way to say that?
Yeah.
Nothing substantial.
All right, we'll take more of your phone calls when we return. It's Carmen and Yurko.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So when we played Drew Brees' comments yesterday, I responded. If you weren't with us, my point was that while Drew Brees said I could never, ever agree with anyone disrespecting our flag by taking a knee because my grandfathers fought in World War II, I had said that both my grandfathers as well fought in World War II. And again, if you're about my age, if you're somewhere in your 40s, if your parents were baby boomers, chances are all of our grandfathers fought. And all of our grandmothers went off and worked in factories and helped in the war effort. That's what was happening in this country to stop a madman. So I think a lot of us can relate. Yes, both my grandfathers fought in the war as well. And a lot of their brothers fought in the war. So I also have a little bit of perspective on it. Not me, of course. You're talking about a couple of generations removed. But I got to know my grandfathers, thankfully, very well. Both of my grandfathers lived into their 90s, which, by the way, bodes well for me, Yurko. I'm banking on living into my 90s. My mom's dad lived to 97, God bless.
There's nothing wrong with that,
both of them. So I got to know my grandfathers very well.
Enjoy your pension.
We got to hear stories about what it was like back then. And I have great appreciation for those who served. My dad's lottery number was called during Vietnam. My dad never had to go over to Vietnam, actually. He served here, but he did do his service in the United States Marine Corps. So I have great appreciation, and I fully support anyone in this country that wants to protest anything he or she feels is important to them, anything they feel that they're so passionate about that they want to try to affect change somehow. The reason I feel that way is because of what all of our grandfathers and relatives were over there fighting for, so that we didn't have to think one way, that we didn't have to live under an autocrat, that we didn't have to be told how to think, how to act, how to feel, what we could do with our lives. They went over and they did that for us, for freedom, for peaceful protest. And so I am all for it. So do I disagree with Drew Brees' stance? I do. I also don't think that someone should be condemned forever because they shared their feelings. People were saying, should NBC, does Drew Brees already have a gig lined up with NBC? Is that right?
It's correct.
People were saying NBC should fire him. That's a reaction that I do not like.
It's a little early, too. You let this thing play out. If he's not going to be employed for 2 years, what are you firing anybody for?
I don't know. I mean, that's what we have. This world has become, and it's because of Twitter. I mean, let's face it. It is.
It's a knee-jerk world.
It has become so much. We've got to shout at everything now. Right. And NBC needs to fire Drew Brees.
Stay
I don't believe
wary,
that.
Stay vigilant. That's what I tell everybody. That's my advice I give to all.
I don't agree with Drew Brees. Okay. We're allowed to disagree.
I look at this from a different perspective. I'm not from the United States. I'm an immigrant, the original dreamer. I came over here with a green card in hand, 2 months old. The United States claimed me at some point when I became a citizen. I had to wait patiently to become a citizen, as did my parents. Came here in 67, became citizens in 1976, July 4th to be exact, along with 1,974 others at Chicago Stadium.
How about that?
So...
Is that the day you became a citizen,
yeah,
too?
Yes. Me and my sister and my brother was born here, yeah, so my brother was a citizen all the time here. So, that's where I'm from. That's where I've experienced the U.S. since 1967. I don't know anything of anything. Now, I've learned a lot about what this country is all about over the course of time. You know, but my dad fought in the Yugoslav Navy.
Yeah.
You know, we were on the losing side, the Croats. If you take a look at it in World War II,
yeah,
well, we weren't anti-American.
Right.
We just weren't pro-American at the time. We weren't pro the Allied powers. We had sided with Germany and with Italy. So we were on the wrong side. So after the war, when they came to the village where my father lived, they went and collected all the men who were of age. They marched them off, never to be seen again. Mm. So that's how my dad lost his father.
Is that right?
The spoils of war, Carm. Isn't that what they call it?
Jeez.
The victors get to write their history.
How old was your dad?
7 years old.
Oh.
He lost him and his uncle. They went bye-bye.
Jeez.
Never to come back again. Okay? So that's the World War II experience that I had.
Oh, my God.
At least my father has.
Yeah, your father has.
Obviously,
yeah.
Didn't have it.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a green card carrying. I'm a U.S. citizen now. Came to this country when I was young. People can say what they want. People can do what they want as long as they don't break the law. Okay? They're entitled. People are entitled to have their thoughts and their opinions. They are.
That is the beautiful
Doesn't
part of this country.
Matter
I mean, it's
who
kind
it
of what
is.
Like it's kind of the whole point of everything.
The same way they wanted to stop Colin Kaepernick from saying and expressing what he wanted to do is a very similar backlash to what happened to Drew Brees. Drew Brees expressed his thoughts and his feelings on what he thought and what he experienced. And they came in like an avalanche, and they got on top of him. So,
yeah.
All I tell you is this is what I'm for. I'm for the First Amendment. Okay? You can express what you want. Okay? As long as you don't incite mobs, you don't want to do anything crazy. Okay? That's what I'm for. I'm for people being able to express themselves, period. And I won't stop anybody from expressing himself. That's why I work on the radio, I think. The original dreamer. That's how I'd like to be referred to right now. The original dreamer.
We just added another sobriquet to Yurko's already.
That's right.
His ever-growing stable of
immigrant. Grew up next to another immigrant family that came to the United States.
The dream. What are wonderful. The original dreamer? Is that
the original dreamer. Right here.
Mike's in Hoffman Estates. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so you guys kind of nailed everything I was going to say on the head, so I'll kind of think on the fly. But I guess my main perspective with everything is that you know, as a white male right now, I'm trying my best to just listen. And Drew Brees had a different option, and that's totally okay. I think my main problem with the issue is you're talking about a very, very touchy subject, and you have a white perspective and a black perspective for the most part that's going on right now. And I think if you're going to have a conversation like this and you don't think that things are going to be said that either make you angry,
yeah, that's true,
or they don't, or there's differing of opinions, then you're not having a genuine conversation.
Yep,
because this, we're going to have completely different sides of things. And what Drew Brees said, maybe not the best time to say it, but isn't that what we're fighting for, to kind of say what you want to say, for everyone has the same ability to have their opinions? You know, and Malcolm Jenkins to come out and kind of say what he said, it's like, well, that's why we're in this issue right now, because we're completely different people with different perspectives on how things are done. And just because I don't agree with every single step you're doing, that doesn't mean that I'm not on your side, and that doesn't mean that I agree with what you're fighting for. So I see comments like Doug Baldwin basically, you know, insinuating how Drew Brees is raising his kids. Are you kidding me? The man has literally rebuilt New Orleans, giving families food and all this stuff. And if you really think that he's not on your team, then you're doing exactly what you don't want people to do to you, and that's not listen.
Joe Horn, I think Drew Brees, that's really my main point.
Thank you, Mike.
We appreciate it. And Joe Horn really went to bat for him, right? I mean, Joe Horn, you know, I'm just reading some of the headlines. You know, Saints teammate Marvin Davenport defends Drew Brees. Joe Horn tells LeBron James to pump the brakes. I mean, and kind of was reiterating just how much Drew's done for the city of New Orleans, how much really the Saints as a whole kind of helped them heal after Katrina. Remember, I mean, that was his first year. Remember, I mean, Sean Payton got down there. What year was that?
06?
I thought that was 05.
Weren't we at the Detroit Super Bowl?
I don't remember now. I thought Katrina, I wasn't with you at the time anyway. I mean, we were all here at the station, but that was Matt, Yurko, and Harry. Katrina, I believe, was the fall, you know, late summer going into the fall of 2005. And that was the first year they were down there together, I thought. And they were a big part of the healing process. Isn't that right, Chris?
2006 is his first season with the Saints.
Okay, so then I'm a year off. It was six. It was 2006. Okay, so I must have been a year off.
You know what else Drew Brees won in 2006? The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Did he? All right. Let's go to, where am I going next here, Mark? Colin? I'm sorry, not Colin. John. Oh, hold on. John and Dyer. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, John?
I just want to talk. I want to see where Colin Kaepernick, where his activism was before he took the knee.
Well, I guess I don't know. I mean, maybe that's where it started.
I'm making a point here. Is I think this guy got caught sulking on the sideline because he wasn't a starter. And he's going out. He always wants his starter money.
I don't think so.
And he's not that good.
He was pretty damn good. I mean, you got to remember then, John. There's always an initial act of activism.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with sulking.
Right, and that may have been his initial act of activism. That may have been the way he decided that this is what he was going to go about the business of doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There's always something that starts it.
John, we appreciate your thoughts.
No, yeah. I mean, you can't say where was it before. Yeah. You're always going to start somewhere.
That's right.
So let's go to Mike.
You're always going to draw the line in the sand at some point.
Yes.
And that may have been the day he drew the line in the sand.
Mike's in Vernon Hills. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay,
good. What's up?
Big fan of the show. And I just want to preface this by saying, like, I would always go to your guys's, you know, meet and greets. And I went to the Oak Brook Twin Peaks to see you guys. Big fan. But you guys, your station had a caller at 11 o'clock on Cap's show that was basically crying, and he called your guys' show out for being insensitive.
What do we do?
I'm paraphrasing, he called you guys out for being insensitive on this whole topic, and you guys can go check the podcast.
I don't know how we've been insensitive.
No, that's okay. We'll check the podcast out. We'll take a look at it, all right?
Yeah, it was around 11:30, but anyways, I mean, he called you guys out, and you know, Yurko, I love you, man. I'm a big fan, but
I
don't agree with, and I don't understand your retweet from yesterday. You comparing Drew Brees to Barack Obama.
Well, I don't
and
know.
If I could finish, I mean, what does Obama have to do with anything that Drew Brees said yesterday? And at a time like this, why tear down a black figure? You know, I don't get it. Like, that's just, it's hurtful.
Well,
and I like you guys a lot, but I just. that one didn't make sense to me, man.
All right.
Well, thanks, Mike, I appreciate your thoughts. The tweet was that Drew Brees did more for the city of New Orleans after Katrina than Barack Obama did for the city of New Orleans in the 8 years he was in office. Mm. So that was the tweet.
That's a pretty arbitrary statement.
Well, there you go. So I found it to be an interesting tweet, and I retweeted.
And if the gentleman that was moved to tears because we've been insensitive, instead of calling Cap's show,
call our show.
Call our show. So I don't. What happened, Chris? Why were we insensitive? I don't think we've been. I mean, I
can cut it, and you can listen to it.
Okay.
I mean, he gave a long statement how he appreciates the way people are handling it. And then he said that it wasn't being handled that way during the show.
I'm not okay. So. I don't know.
Do we have a name on him?
You could call our show instead of calling other shows if you think somehow we've been insensitive.
That's right.
We've let people talk. We've shared our you know.
Hey, Mikey had some criticism for me. I appreciate it. And, you know, whatever my political thoughts are my political thoughts. I'm entitled to those.
But at least
anybody else is entitled to theirs.
I would say be a man and call us, as I guess what I would say, too. If you've got a problem with the way we've handled it,
well,
call
we're here,
us.
Yeah, we're here 2 hours and 12 minutes a day, guys.
Don't call anybody
That's
else.
That's right.
So be a man. All right, we'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up in about 25 minutes. Let's say hi to Zaya in Skokie. Hey, Zaya.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How good. Are you?
What's going on?
Good. I just wanted to weigh in on just the things going on. You know, my thing is, I think both sides need to change. You know, as far as police officers, they can't go around doing this stuff. And also, just take race out of it. Take black and white out of it. People cannot disobey the police. I just think that, like, if you do that, then you're hiding something. Like, if they tell you step out the car, just step out the car. If you have nothing to hide, they'll do their job and be on their way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, but I think what people are fighting for here is that why has it happened so much?
Why am I getting pulled over 25 times?
Right, why does it happen so much more depending on the color
why
of your skin?
Is it,
that's
right.
The issue.
Why is it that I'm being pulled over and I'm being told I look dangerous?
Correct. So, 312-332-3776 is the number. Harding is in Orland Park on ESPN 1000. Hey, Harding.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Harding.
I'm listening to the callers, and it's funny. But, hey, so the NBA draft lottery is on August 25th, so I'm going to will the Bulls to the number one pick. But I will warn you up front, they're going to take an all-star level player. The next three draft picks will probably be Hall of Fame level players, just to let you know.
Harding, let me ask you a question. On Cap's show earlier today, did you write what you read this morning?
Yeah, I wrote it as I was listening to the show really quick because I wanted to make sure I didn't stumble across words. And I still had a little hiccup here and there, but I wanted to make a very clear point that actually leads me into something that I did want to say. So, Yurko, I appreciate how you just approached, I think, the caller before the last one.
Right.
So when he said that he called Cap or whoever called Cap and said you guys were offensive, Carmen, you went into a human reaction, right? You're like, well, what did we say that was offensive? It's a human defense mechanism. It happens, right?
But you're course.
Right, absolutely. But Yurko says, hey, let's just listen back and see what and that's what we're asking to happen here.
Right.
Just calm down and listen and then take a look because everybody doesn't find the same things offensive. So
well,
the gentleman
listen,
that
but
just,
Harding, I've been call us. That's what I'm saying.
No,
call,
I understand
call,
that.
Call
but
us and tell us.
Right, he said your original reaction was that of defense, that we didn't say anything there, as
well,
opposed
no,
to I said, let's listen to what was said.
I guess I'm asking. I'm not allowed to ask. I would
no,
like
no,
to.
No, you are.
Yeah.
You are. It's okay.
Yes.
I'm not saying what you did was wrong, but that's kind of what the nation does when somebody brings up the inequalities of, that black people face. It's like, all right, defense mechanism, because it's human for that to happen. So like the gentleman just says, if you get pulled over and the police ask you to step out the car, just step out the car and allow them to do their job. Yeah. The whole process is a point for us to get to that point because we don't experience that. We don't have the trust in the police officers to say, well, I can step out the car safely and know nothing's going to happen to me and let them do their job.
I agree.
If we were at that point, we would not be protesting. Lastly, I want to say this. the Bears are holding back Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles from the press conference situation to avoid maybe brand tarnishment or muzzling them just to make sure they don't say anything crazy. I think they're actually doing what they're trying to prevent by doing that. It already has the stigma of the whole passing on Deshaun Watson situation with skin color and Mitch Trubisky, and now you're saying these two Caucasian quarterbacks should not speak on this matter because of our worry of maybe would they say something crazy or brand tarnishment. You're doing exactly what you're trying to prevent, guys.
Thanks,
Harding.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Mitch and Nick were going to talk, and then they did not on the Zoom conference call. I really don't know what that's all about or what the motive there would be. I'm not exactly sure. I can't get into that.
Seems to be something seems to be a decision made on let's not put them in a position where they might make a mistake.
Maybe.
So let's just hold them back instead of let them say what they need to say or what they're going to say if they get asked that question.
Mitch used his Instagram account to post. Somebody said it was the first social media post he had had all year.
Well, when one usually writes something out, you don't have the – usually it takes time. You're going over it. You proofread it. You go through it. When you speak off the cuff and you speak naturally, there's a chance maybe and a tendency to make a mistake. Or just misspeak, and then the next thing you know, you find yourself knee-deep in it.
Maybe. Yeah. Ray's in Wheeling. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, you guys are doing a good job discussing what you're doing. Things sometimes it's not very comfortable. It could be awkward. It could be difficult. But I think it's going to be a good thing, and you guys are, I got to give you guys credit for standing up and facing everything, and that's a good job.
Thanks.
But what I really wanted to say was, how I interpreted the reaction to Drew Brees was that a lot of the athletes were not really ripping him. They were more or less questioning him, saying, Drew, we're talking about another subject here. Like, what does the flag have to do and the army have to do with the police brutality? So I think a lot of guys were taking it from that angle. The athletes were saying, we're talking about police brutality and the flag issue and military. A lot of African-American soldiers have fought. A lot of African-American soldiers are do not disrespect the flag. So that's my take on the athletes. I don't really think they were laying into him. I think they were just saying, Drew, let's try to stay to the subject. That's it, guys.
All right,
thanks.
Ray, we appreciate it. Thank you. This is what Marcus Davenport, one of his teammates, said. He's got some guys that have come out in his defense and have supported him. Marcus Davenport wrote that Drew wasn't talking about the current protests, the riots, or really anything besides his feelings on kneeling during the national anthem. He even explained what they were, the basis, and that he actually stands with us. Do we have to entirely agree with him? No. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. There's NBA news today that the league has decided to approve the 22-team format to resume the 2019-2020 season. And that's going to proceed as planned. Sources told Shams Charania from The Athletic and Stadium that training camp will that the NBA informed the Board of Governors that the scheduled dates are going to look like this. Training camp is going to go from June 30th to July 7th, travel to Orlando, and then July 31st will be the resumption of the season. The season, if it were to go a full 7 games through the finals, would end on October 12th. They're going to do the draft, what did we say, on the 15th, right, Chris? And that free agency will start October 18th, and that the 2020-2021 target dates here are November 10th for training camp, December 1st for opening night, but it will remain fluid. So it's going to still be a pretty quick turnaround, right? I mean, it's going to be a short offseason no matter how you slice it. This could be the new normal when it comes to the NBA calendar, guys. I think it might be, too.
I think you like it.
I think I'm on board with it.
The NBA fans, I believe, and Bleck is an NBA
huge
fan.
NBA fan.
I think you two guys are going to like the schedule change.
I think so.
I said Mark Cuban was thinking about it. He had talked about it. So
Christmas, should be their opening day, because Christmas has become very synonymous with big NBA games. I mean, that should be their opening day, holiday season, boom, into the NBA.
And then pushing forward, think about next summer. We always get to a point in the summer where we say, all right, the dog days of baseball,
July,
the all-star break, there's nothing really going on. We do that that week every year in the summer, right? We're not going to do it this summer. But then going forward, you'll have a full NBA season, a schedule going on in the summer.
You'll have playoffs in July. You know?
So I think it'll be cool because instead of ramping up for the NBA season while football is going on, you're going to have the off-season stuff to kind of supplement your NFL games. And you'll talk about the draft and free agency and all that stuff while football games are going on. And then you can watch basketball games when there's no football on. I think it's kind of smart.
Hard for anything to compete with the NFL really these days. And so maybe the NBA is going to use this as an opportunity to finally change that calendar, because some very prominent people within the league have floated this idea for some time. We'll get back and take a few more phone calls coming up 15 minutes from now. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Now, I hope everyone has gone to obviousshirts.com to buy their Sylvie Strong t-shirt. Support our buddy Sylvie, and to support the V Foundation, because all the proceeds, Obvious Shirts is donating those to the V Foundation, which is a great organization. Every cent that they receive goes directly to cancer research. Very important. So go to obviousshirts.com and buy your shirt today. They are very cool looking shirts.
Which one do you have?
I have the, not the one that Mason designed. I have the other one.
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, with the headphones. Right. It says Sylvie Strong. I think I'm going to buy a couple of the ones Mason designed for my kids. They'd probably like
Makes
that.
Makes a little
and
bit
they
of
love
sense.
Mason. My daughter loves Mason.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Could be their future
it
little romance, kid. You never
could
know.
Could be a little romance.
Never know.
You better believe it. I tell you. Yeah.
Somewhere down the line, 15, 20 years.
Man,
never know.
Yes, Yurko. So I think I'm going to buy. I'll go back on. I bought one just for me the first day that they went on sale. And I'll go back and I'll probably buy a couple of the kid size ones. Because you can buy them in kid sizes. And
sure.
Buy the ones that Mason designed. Sylvie is strong. It's awesome. So we'll crosstalk with the guys coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, how about Leonard in the city? Leonard, what's going on?
Hello, how you doing?
Okay, how are
you? How you doing, Leonard?
I love the show, guys. I listen all the time.
Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to shed some light. I'm a youth pastor on the west side and a driver for disabled and elderly people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a lot of us out there, and we don't agree with the looting. So I think it put a black eye on the peaceful protests, because a lot of people, they use the peaceful protest as a disguise to commit crimes and loot. You know, so we were trying our best to separate it and even called in the police, but they were overwhelmed.
Mm, right.
So I just want to, because a lot of people took it as everybody was looting and put us all in the same category, but I just wanted to shed the light.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And there could be other forces at work here, too. So we're not.
Right. Not everybody's out there looting. You're absolutely
right. Not everybody's
right,
out there just for peaceful protests. Other people are out there to take the most of an opportunity to maybe to do something that they shouldn't do.
Shame on them. Leonard, keep doing what you're doing. Thanks, man.
I love the show, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
God bless. See? Doing good things out in the community. I like that. All right, so who was upset earlier? You want to play that, Chris? Because we didn't hear it. I wish they would have played it. I wish you would have called our show.
I can hear. I'll get it up for you.
Okay. Yeah, that sounded.
And we may so listen. We may want to tighten it up here.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Because it's an extended period of time.
Is there a main point?
He hasn't heard it. So, you know, as far as you hear bits and pieces, but it could be a 4-minute phone call for all we know.
Well, we don't have time.
So, if anything, let's listen to it, and then we'll bring it back tomorrow. We'll
talk
about it.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. That's fine.
Let's listen to it. We'll see what it says.
Or just tell whomever it was to call us, please.
Yeah, Mike in Georgia, I believe, is the individual, the young man. So,
Jason is in Los Angeles. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good afternoon to you guys. Appreciate this ongoing dialogue, and like the caller who called earlier, I'm also a minister and a Chicago native. Mm-hmm. And I keep my ESPN app on all the time.
Good.
Because Chicago sports is where you get the most candid sports talk, and I want to speak directly to Yurko.
Yep, I'm here
because I am one of these individuals who is out here looking to fight for change. And you said something earlier about educating yourself.
Yes.
And one thing that I have seen throughout my years, being a black man, 40 years old, I remember Billy Packer called Allen Iverson a tough monkey.
I remember
when Don Imus called the women's of the Rutgers team nappy-headed hoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also sat here last week, and I heard you call Mayor Lori Lightfoot Beetlejuice.
Yes,
and
I
as
did.
A black man
I did.
And as a minister, I can't sit here and let anybody say something disrespectful to a black woman. It doesn't matter what they are politically. It doesn't matter if you agree with them being a Democrat or Republican. The type of change that needs to happen is for and if we go back into slavery, right? Understand that the slave masters had ultimate control over not just the black men, but they would go into the living quarters of where the men were and take the wives and rape the wives in front of their husbands. And the husbands could not do anything about it. So what you have is this 400 years of black men being afraid to step up when someone insults our women. You insulted a black woman, Yurko. I want you to feel that. Yes, it was a joke. Yes, and some of you all may have thought it was funny, but you, the other guy sat there and felt uncomfortable. And now my challenge to Carmen, to Waddle, Sylvie, whom I love. I love when that thing happens, you have to say, dude, we can't do that. Just like I've been listening to this station for years and years when it was Sylvie and Carmen and it was Sound the Gay Horn.
Yeah,
we
stopped that. You're right.
You stopped that. Yep. It was stopped. So what I'm saying today, Yurko,
yes.
As a person who I'm not going to stop listening to this show.
I disagree
with what you said about Barack Obama and what the tweet or what have you. You have the right to tweet whatever you want to tweet.
Or retweet in this situation.
But okay. in this day and time, mm-hmm. what is now being seen is that black people are now finally letting out a collective breath at one time. And my advice to white America is that you do what many are doing. Listen, because as there's going to be more of a collective breath, there's going to be, and then there'll be less people like me who aren't quote unquote understanding. I'm not here to make a tirade, but what I'm here is to say, dude, you called a black woman, the mayor of Chicago, Beetlejuice. That can't happen, dude. You're in a position. You are in a position, man, where you have a platform where many millions of people listen to you. Well, you have children.
Before we run out of time, Jason, listen, before we run out of time, I do want Yurko, let him respond at this point.
Well, unfortunately for me, I like to have a lot of levity in the show. And, mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't realize, like, if I'm joking around or I'm saying something, even if it was on Pritzker or,
you like to take a shot to Pritzker.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I will offer you this, Jason. I apologize to Lori Lightfoot for making light of her appearance and for using the words Beetlejuice in reference to her. And I promise you that I won't say that again and or make any personal shots at people. How about that?
Well, be careful there, because sometimes,
Well, no. He's asking, I'm telling
Carmen,
Jason, I'm
going
to try not to.
No, this is monumental, because for someone like Yurko, you're funny. There are things that Yurko says sometimes. I'm having a bad day,
right.
And Yurko will say something, and I'm like, I'm about to spit my coffee out.
Attempt to continue to make people laugh and provide levity, something bad comes out of it. And you bring up that old bit that Sylvie and I used to do. God, you have been with us for a long time, Jason.
A long time.
That goes back to, like, the early 2000s. And, I don't remember even. It might have been a caller like yourself, Jason, somebody who either wrote or called us that was a gay person and said, guys, I really like you and you're hilarious, but that is really offensive. And it got us to thinking. We're like, you know what? And the world starts changing. And, yeah, you change with it. And you're like, and I would never, like, Yerk knows me pretty well. I mean, I'm extremely liberal when it comes to social issues, especially.
Right.
I mean, I really am. I don't really recognize myself as a Republican or a Democrat. I've been voting for 25 years in this country. I've voted for all kinds of candidates. But I'm, you know, I'd hate to think that, yeah, we were offending people with that. We just thought it was funny. And I think it took a call like yours, Jason, for us to say, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. And we stopped it, obviously, a long time ago. And now it's even crazy to think that we did do it. But you're right. Yeah. It was the car horn from Caddyshack.
Jason, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for making it.
We're up against the break, Jason.
For giving me notice, too. Thank you, Jason.
God bless you, buddy. Thanks, all right?
You too.
See you, Jason.
Thank you.
That was well said, and yeah, I mean, he's been with us for a long time. You can tell because he remembers a lot about the station. That we used to do that, and yeah. And I honestly, I think it was an exact scenario like just what just happened, where someone called and said, "Guys, I'm gay. That's really offensive, you know." Sometimes you got to get smacked in the face like that, where you think, "Well, we don't mean to be insulting, but perhaps it is, and shame on us." And so, Jason, thanks. And everybody that called in today, we appreciate you. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up next. We'll see what they've got on tap for 2 until 6. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.